99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Hello. I'm John Potter, live and local. It's 10:06. Wow, Craig, suddenly everybody came into the station here, and they all want to go on at once. How did that happen?
That's a normal occurrence, isn't it?
Really? It's like Grand Central Station here. So we have our first guest here. This is really, oh, man, if you're a parent, you got to listen up, because we have Christine Salvo here and Aaron. This is about creativeconversations.com. It's whiteboard parenting. It's a live workshop next Saturday. This is for folks who having trouble communicating with and disciplining their children. Isn't that everybody?
I think so.
Right, it is. And it's for divorced parents and anyone who works with children. What is, let me start with Christine here. What is whiteboard parenting? Describe.
Yeah, so whiteboard parenting is something that I teach my families in my private marriage and family therapist practice. And so it's basically a no yelling approach to parenting.
What?
Yeah.
Does that work?
It so works. And it's brilliant. It's really, really fabulous.
What's your view on spanking?
Well, it's legal in Nevada, open hand on the butt.
I can tell already. I can tell already you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan. No, I'm really not a fan. It's
you can't talk and reason with an 8-year-old. You
well, actually,
can you?
Yeah.
There are ways to do that, you say.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give you just a little taste. Okay. So I want you to imagine right now your child. Mm-hmm. And I love saying this to people, and I say, adults are terrible children. We so quickly forget what it's like, right?
Right.
And so I'm going to use the example of eating something you don't like. You know, so many parents struggle with dinner time. Dinner time, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a point where we're struggling for hours sometimes. So when I was a kid, if I didn't like something, it was sit at the table until it's done. And
yes.
I would fall asleep at the table several times, right?
So you had parents the same way I had parents. You're not leaving the table until you finish the meal.
I had
that too.
Okay. Now, fast forward.
Okay.
You're an adult. I'm an adult. How often do you sit and eat foods you don't like?
Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
now that I can do what I want,
mm-hmm.
I don't have food I don't like on my plate.
Right. Would anyone be able to force you to sit down and eat food you don't like until you fell asleep at the table?
Well, it's different with adults, though.
Why?
Because we're the boss of our lives.
Uh-huh.
When you're a kid, the parents are the boss.
Yeah, but the parents are using misguided and misled and information based on their parenting that they had. They didn't like either. So I'm guessing you didn't like when your parents did that.
No, yep. I didn't.
When we have children, we're like, I'm going to do that same thing that I didn't like.
That's part of being a kid. You do things you don't like, right?
Oh, why?
Well, it trains
Whoa,
you that, okay,
right?
I don't want to argue here, but it trains you that the world is like that too. You got to go to a job and you got to work with a boss that has rules you don't like. It prepares you for the real world.
So I'm going to give you an alternative to that.
Yeah.
So the whiteboard parenting, I think, prepares you more for that than the kind of ridiculous parenting that we've had that we're passing down to our kids that just doesn't work. Screen parenting is terrible. Nobody learns anything from that. How many adults do you know that like to get screamed at and that respond well? Zero. So now remember, you're 8 years old, like you said. You're little. Everyone mm-hmm. around you is big and scary and loud. And one of the things in the workshop I want to share, and I want to have this exercise of someone's going to volunteer to be a child. And then I'm going to have a bunch of adults in the room giving them different directions on how to behave. So like at school, and then my teacher, and then my recess duty, and then my babysitter, and then my mom, and then my dad, and then my older brother, and my older sister, and then the neighbor's parents. And these poor kids are so confused. So whiteboard parenting, really what it does is it reduces all the anxiety of childhood. It gives your kids a job description on what the expectations are to be a kid. It gives the parents, both of the parents, a way to communicate where the kids are at, what they've done, how many mistakes they've made that day, right? So consequences are a big part of this. So this isn't a consequence-free, right?
I was about to say, this sounds like consequence-free? If the kid knows he's not going to get spanked or even yelled at, what are the consequences then?
Right? Okay. So I'm so glad you asked. So when I have my families, let's say this, I'll just use an example of a family I've worked with. There was five kids, two adults. It was a blended family. And I had all of them in my office. And I just went around the room to each kid and I said, what do you like? What are the top three rewards you would like? And the kids tell me their rewards and I write them down. Great. Now, equal opposite. So if what you really want, and the funny thing is when you ask your kids, they give you the information because it has to appeal to them. So let's say an adult, if your boss said, would you like a bonus in money or would you like time off? You get a choice. Both would be a reward to you, but some people want more flexibility of time and other people need the money, want the money. But not everybody wants the same thing. And so with this, we're asking the kid, so I'll give you an example. One kid said, I want quality time with my parents. The other kid said, I want time alone in my room with no interruptions. So if we gave a blanket consequence, both those kids would react differently because it's not a good consequence for them.
So the consequence would be they'd still be a little bit of facing responsibility, but you would have the kid choose which one they want.
No, it's a high responsibility program.
Okay.
High.
Okay. So you don't give out the demands. You don't mete out the punishment. You really let the kid think and consider options.
Yeah, it's a living document, like I like to tell parents. So it's a whiteboard, right? So we can erase it, we can update it as the kids grow and they're into different things. We should be keeping up with that. But it's very similar, again, like you said, the program and the process that I use teaches kids to be healthy, well-adjusted adults. Because that's really our job as parents, not to scream, not to yell, not to hit. It's I need to raise you so that you can survive in this crazy, hectic world that's not going to be nice to you all the time, right?
So whatever happened to I'm the boss, I decide what we eat, when you eat, when you come inside, and when you do your homework. I'm the boss. What happened to that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of parents are still doing that, and they're finding that they're really frustrated, and that's why they're yelling.
Okay. This is a whole new... I'm 69 years old, and for decades I've, you know, it's been built into my head how I've been brought up and everything that you follow authority.
Right.
Right? Does this diminish the authority of parents?
No, absolutely not. It's the opposite. So I'm really glad you brought that up. So there's this triangle I usually draw for parents. And again, this is in my private practice. This is the first time I'm offering this workshop to the public. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big deal. So as your mind is kind of twisting and like, what the heck is this? Yeah, it's that kind of like, whoa, right? But it's life-changing and it's so amazing for families. I mean, I'm telling you, this household of five kids that I was telling you about earlier, follow up 3 months later, how's the yelling? Because this is what they're coming in for. Every day I'm fighting with every kid over a different thing. It's chaos in my house. No one's happy. It's so loud. No one can think straight, right? And I go, how's the yelling? And they're like, what yelling? We don't yell anymore because there's no reason, right?
Right.
So what it is actually, so if you're curious about this, when kids are arguing with you, they think they're on your level. And that's the first thing that I myth bust. Your children cannot be adults. They're not equipped. Therefore, they cannot make decisions.
How do you tell them that?
That's the funny thing. You don't have to. Kids are kids, right? And and actually, I'm protecting their childhood. They get to just be kids. They don't have to make the big decisions. What they have to do, though, is kind of learn what they like, what they don't like, be able to stick up for themselves in a lot of ways. I'll give you another example of the family. They're using the whiteboard parenting. And I ask the kid in therapy, and I go, so how's it going? He's like, I love it. All kids love this, by the way. Kids are total fans of whiteboard. And he goes, but I've done all my chores. He's about seven. I've done all my chores, and I haven't gotten any money. I just start laughing, and I look at the parents. I'm like, you better pay up. And they're like, you know, sorry about that. So it's really collaborative. It's actually quite fun. Everybody gets involved, and it works.
You know what this sounds like? And I don't mean to insult. This sounds like how Caesar Milan trains dogs.
Very similar, probably.
Is it really? Yeah. Because I know that works on dogs.
It works, yeah. So now that you mention that, I am always telling parents that, you know, their kids are puppies. And so we need constant reinforcement. We need to celebrate wins, right? What do we do with a puppy?
Yeah.
Oh, you did this. I'm going to give you a treat. I'm going to give you a treat. I'm going to give you a treat. Same behavior, same behavior, same behavior until it becomes natural. Children, very similar. So you're not wrong.
Let me ask you, what do you think of these? I heard that raising girls is easier than raising boys. Is that true?
Different ages. So boys are a little more rowdy and rambunctious when they're young. They're easier when they're older.
Yeah.
Teenage girls are a lot more like docile when they're young, but they're harder in during the teenage years. So it's kind of a flip-flop.
Also, I think getting out of the house on time with your children should be considered an Olympic sport.
Right, and the whiteboard parenting actually covers that.
Parenthood is updating your kids' wardrobe every season while you're still wearing the same clothes from 2015.
There you go.
Expensive. Expensive.
Right?
And I think the quickest way for a parent to get their kids' attention is to sit down and look comfortable. Okay, so this is next Saturday.
Yeah.
Starts at 11 a.m. It's going to be in Carson City. And it costs $50. It's a one-time thing, one-time cost. And it lasts for an hour and a half.
Two and a half.
Oh, 2.5 hours. You see my math.
It's
way off.
Downtown Carson City.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah.
It's going to be on Saturday. So Next Saturday. We ask that you RSVP online at creativeconversations.co. Not .com, .co. RSVP there. You can RSVP and pay at the door, or you can pay ahead of time. We are limited seating. But, again, this is something Christine's been doing with her private practice for a long, long time. These types of seminars and workshops that we're going to be doing are more expensive than $50. This is kind of
absolutely
an intro.
Yeah.
This is an introductory. We want to present Christine and her new website, new office, Creative Conversations to
dot
the world.
.co. Can you reserve on that website?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
There you go, folks. Creativeconversations.co. Reserve and attend. And it's a whole new world if you're parenting to find out how to gain control of your children's behaviors. Thanks a lot, Christine. Aaron,
thank you so much for having
you.
Me.
Very eye-opening. Really is.
Awesome.
Okay. Up next, folks, Garage Door Talk. Oh, this is going to be something. I'm John Potter. 884-9910 is our number. We'll be back in a few on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1019.
The FM, news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Well, it looks like Mr. Potter is having an issue in Reno, probably. With internet, because we are up here in Carson City. He's going to be calling in on the phone in just mere moments to continue on with his guest here. And let's hope he does. I'm watching for the phone to ring right now. John, if you can hear me, 884-9910. Call me on the cell phone. In the meantime, we'd like to say thank you to all of our listeners who wished the Evans Broadcast family the Happy New Year and happy holidays. And now here is Mr. John Potter via telephone.
Hey, what's up?
I think you lost internet up there again.
Oh, are we on the air?
Yes, you are. You're hot on the air.
Well, that's good. I didn't know I was on the air, and I'm glad I was my mellow self here. Okay, so tell me what I don't know here. What's going on?
Well, you're on the air. Talk to your people. Talk to your guests, just like you normally would. The only difference is you're doing it via telephone right now because you have no internet up in the Reno studios.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let me, what time is it? We got 6 minutes till Fox News here. And I'm borrowing the guest's phone.
What happened to your new phone, John?
Battery's dead.
They make a charging cable for that?
yeah, I don't have, you know.
No, I mean at home at night before you go to, when you go to bed. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. I apologize for this, folks. See what I can do in 6 minutes here. All right, well, let's go out in the lobby and meet our next guest. And in the meantime, Craig, you're going to work on this internet, right?
I'd have to be up in Reno to work on it because it's your internet up there, not my internet down here.
All right, so we're saying that I'm going to be on the phone till noon?
Well, and until the internet comes back down there, which used to be like 5 minutes, but we're hitting that five-minute mark right about now, so...
Okay. You don't have any songs to play, do you?
Well, you know, I was...
Oh, there you are. I hear... Okay, I think it's on now.
All right. Well, yeah, go ahead and... I'm taking you off the phone then. And go to your microphone. As he walks back in the studio. And where are you, John? Hello, John. Are you back there? I see internet, and I have that, but John, you must turn on your microphone. I cannot hear you. All right. Well, you know what? We lost a television personality over the weekend that, or over during the week, and of course, my computer is running like molasses here in Carson City as well. David Soul from Starsky and Hutch. Many of you will probably remember him as Hutch Hutchison. And he passed away. He not only did Starsky and Hutch, he did several other programs and was an accomplished singer. So you know what? While I'm trying to get John back together here, because I can't hear John, I am going to go ahead and we're going to go to Fox News right now. 99.1 FM Talk, 92.3 FM Talk, Fox News time, 10:26.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Hi, folks. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk in the studio. Pro-Lift Garage Doors with Oz and Miranda. Been on the show before. And the reason we have you here is, as we welcome the new year, it's time to prioritize some essential tasks for your garage. You know, your garage is not just a place to park your car. It's an important part of your home that requires attention and care. You two are our garage door experts. And what are the three? I want to start with this because it's a new year. What are the, and you have these to-do lists for the new year. And what are some important garage to-dos for the new year? What should folks be doing now? Oz, I'm going to start with you.
How you doing? Well, the lube and tunes and checking your springs is very important.
How often do you have to do that?
Every 6 months is nice. Once a year is doable.
Oh, I'm in trouble. I haven't done it for years.
You know, so, but when the weather gets cold and it affects the springs because the molecules in the springs and they tighten, they loosen, and they tend to snap once they get old.
Oh, my gosh.
The spring typically lasts about 10,000 times going up and down, which is typically 5 years.
You know, I thought a garage door was set it and forget it. This whole thing about maintenance on your garage door, it's kind of intimidating to learn that we have to do things.
Well, for one, it's the largest door on your home, and 90% of the people use it as their front door now.
That's true.
So in you want to spruce your home up, or if you're selling your home, the curb appeal of your garage door is the largest door. So you want it to look and work the best.
You know, and I got to ask you about security, because neighborhood crime is rising. Some burglars get in through the garage door because, as you said, it is the main door into the house right now for homeowners. How can folks make their garage doors more secure, or has the garage door industry found new technology that makes them secure?
Yes, they did. I mean, the openers, they all come now with most of them with Wi-Fi, camera setups, battery backups, vacation locks. So,
garage door companies are doing this?
The opener companies.
The opener.
Brandtech openers, the LiftMaster openers, the Genie openers, all the opener companies have this technology in their openers. So
it's no longer just open close?
No, you can do it all from your phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and you have like the Amazon code that they call it, that you can give a person a one-time code to open up your door, put your package inside, and then close it, and it won't reuse that code ever again.
Do you deal in these openers yourself?
Yes, we do deal in them.
Wow. But at the same time, you want it to be easy to open yourself. You know, people lock their houses, and if they can't get the garage door open, you know, do you get many calls like that?
Yes, yes. And it's really tough nowadays to actually open a garage door that's locked. It's special tools and takes some time to actually get into a door that's closed and locked by the opener.
Security's too good. You get me? Is it? Do you get many calls from people trapped in their garage?
We get a few, and there's it's usually winds up with damaging the door to get in. So,
well, I mean, when they exit the house, they're in the garage, and they lock the door to the house from the garage, but then they can't open the garage door. Now, I worked at a place one time where a lady called and said, "I can't make it to work because I'm trapped in my garage."
Well, all your garage doors have a safety cord. It's a red cord drawn down.
They still have the cord?
Yes, and you can pull it so you can open your door manually without the opener. The technology on that is new. Before, you used to pull it towards the door, and it would release. And, of course, anybody can stick a coat hanger in there and pull the old cord and release and open the door. Now that is opposite. It needs to go the opposite direction, so you can't just push a cord and unlock the door to get it in with the opener. And then the security with the generated codes for the openers, it changes the code every time you open and close the door. So you doesn't have the manual click codes like before. You can sit outside with a random code generator and pop open someone's garage door, because it's...
Isn't that a bit much? It changes the code every time you open the door?
Yeah, it's an infinite amount of numbers, and it's generally a 12 or 13 digit code that's generated through the motherboard in the opener.
Oh my gosh, motherboards. So the computer age has hit the garage door.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, but John, the key thing is it doesn't...
But on the bright side, your remote does keep up all with
right.
your opener.
Go ahead, Craig. What was that?
I was going to say that is automatic, that you don't even see it. That's behind the scenes that it's changing that code. It's not a code you have to remember.
Well, that's good.
No, it does it automatically.
Yeah, but things get messed up, don't they? I
mean, that's what the computer's for.
That's what I have experience with computers. Okay, let me ask you this. Some neighbors of mine have taken to bringing their garage door open remote into the house at night, because I think the police are even saying this, that thieves, when they break in your car, get a hold of the garage door remote, which could get them into the house.
Oh, easily.
Easily, you say.
If somebody were to steal your garage door remote.
Yeah.
If somebody were to steal your garage door remote.
Yeah.
And they were to use that to access your home, there is a very good possibility that can happen. It is, the police do have a good point with that, to bring your garage door remote in with you, keep anything of value out of your vehicles, especially, I mean, I've lived in some shady neighborhoods in my younger years, and, you know, you have to be very cautious.
All right, so bring the remote in at night.
Well, even when you're going to the store, if your car gets broken into while you're at the store and they take the remote, then they can still get into your house just by looking at your registration in your car and knowing your address.
Very true. It's always good to take anything of value with you anywhere you go. And don't leave things of value in your car. I mean, we're coming to a day and age, and especially with the way Reno's grown and a lot of people have lost their homes, it's desperate times and desperate measures. It sounds terrible, but I err on the side of caution.
Well, I'm glad the garage doors are modernizing enough with the security things that Oz, you were talking about there.
We also suggest, like 99% of the car manufacturers now have a home link or a garage door button in your car that can be programmed to the button, so you don't have a physical remote to take with you.
Well, that's what my wife's car has.
That's the button. You push the button.
She pushes a button on the sun visor, and it opens up the garage door. So
we also have what is called the vacation lock. So if you decide to go on vacation, you can push the vacation lock, and no remotes will work.
Let me ask you this. I know a person who wraps, when they bring in the garage door opener into the house at night, they wrap theirs in foil so the codes can't be copied by somebody roaming around with some sort of code reader. Is that BS or is that?
Yeah, that's pretty much keeping it away from the aliens from getting to them. But
all right,
it's not gonna work.
I don't mind saying that this person I'm talking about is me.
So
it's just something I heard from somebody. So
he wraps his remote at the same time he's putting on his tinfoil hat.
Back in the 80s, it might have been true, but nowadays, no, it's all electronic and it changes constantly.
Oz, you know what? When I go into the house. Here's another habit of mine. When I go in the house, I close in the garage door. I'm always looking back to the very end of the garage door closing to make sure nobody rolls in like a snake at the last minute. It's just a habit of mine.
Snake?
Well, I want to see the door completely closed before I go into the house.
Oh.
You know, because somebody could sneak in and, you know, along, anyway.
There's door sensors that would, if something came in and broke the beam of the sensors, the door would stop and go back
up. I've seen too many Mission Impossible movies.
You
know? Is there something out now that takes away the anxiety of, and I think you touched on this with your Wi-Fi remote. I have this anxiety, and I know a lot of other, it's not just me this time, they have this anxiety where they're halfway to work or they're at work and they think, oh, did I close the garage door when I left home?
Yes, it's on your phone when you link it up to your Bluetooth. The phone app will tell you if your door is opened. There's a setting
The garage door app.
Yes, on your phone. It will tell you if your door is open. And there's a setting that will automatically close the garage door so many minutes, whatever you set it to automatically close once the car passes the safety.
Oh,
beams.
My gosh. Hallelujah. You know what? I've driven back home like twice just to see if I closed the garage door because you're not thinking about it when these two are looking at me like I'm a total nutcase.
The Wi-Fi app on the Bluetooth is fantastic. It will. You can look on your phone. You can see if it's open. You can actually open and close it if need be. If you're someone's expecting to be there, a gardener or something, and they need to get through the door, you can open it on your end no matter where you're at. On vacation.
I didn't know all this technology stuff was going on with garage doors. It's pretty amazing. Now, there's a piece of technology which has always frustrated me, too. What about the dreaded electric eye alignment that gets out of whack and you can't these stupid electric eyes, they first started putting them because there was this horrendous danger that the garage door will come down and crush you, right?
Yes.
Now come on, garage doors, when they sense some pressure, they just go back up again. Why do we need these electric eyes
that
won't work if they're out of alignment? And they always go out of alignment, it seems, after a couple of years, Oz.
Well, if there's a child kicking a ball or something, and someone's backing out of the garage, it would stop the door, so it doesn't come down on top of the kid. Someone's tripping over it.
It's really just a really strong safety feature in case that pressure switch doesn't.
Well, it's a little overkill, don't you think? I mean, if the
garage. So is our government. So.
Well, is this a government thing that they started?
Yeah. It's a mandate.
Go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, one of the things that I noticed on my mother's house and her garage door is that certain times of the year, as the sun's going down, the sun hits it just right and the garage door won't move if it's open because the sun is hitting that sensor.
Sensor is pretty out of date. Newer sensors can detect whether or not it's sunlight hitting it. It's not quite as affected by that anymore. The sensors that we install now don't have those issues.
Yeah, yours are probably more infrared than they just regular light sensor.
And we're getting better technology all the time. So if she's still having that problem, have her give us a call. We can come over there and give that a and check that out and fix that problem.
Well, this is all good news. It's like the garage door companies thought of these problems that people are having. I had a repair guy come out because I could not get those electric eye alignment going just right. You know, it's a very precise measurement.
The trick with the sensors are you've got a green light on one and a yellow light on the other. And if the green light starts blinking, they're out of alignment. So you just fiddle with it to get them in line till the light goes solid, and it works good. It's just a little.
I don't like to fiddle with a garage door.
I don't blame you.
I just don't understand the reason for him because, like I said, you know, you can make the garage door detect pressure. If there's an obstruction, the thing is supposed to go back up. So I don't, you know, get the electric eye business. But anyway, that's just me.
Everything just goes a secondary wrong. Safety protocol.
Well, that's good.
We've gone to conventions. There's garage door conventions.
Garage door conventions.
Yes. And the technology, those little photo eyes are just like the tip of the iceberg. There are some like 007 stuff out there where there are like an entire light curtain that goes down each end of your garage door. And these things, you can rotate them out like 45, 60 degrees, somewhere around there. And they still function properly. It's pretty nifty. I mean, but that setup's a little bit up there, but it's really neat. The amount of technology that these guys are throwing out there. I mean, we have silent rollers now, silent hinges. They're not just solid chunks of metal. You can open up your door. You barely hear it make a noise.
Gosh.
If you're a late worker, you don't want to wake up the family when you get home at midnight or something because you work a second shift and you don't want to wake up your wife because she's been dealing with the newborn all day. But we have these silent hinges, silent rollers, belt-driven drives. That way, when you open up that door, it's just not a peep. Everybody gets to stay sleeping. You can go in the house, relax, watch your favorite show, unwind for the evening, and head to bed. You know, just
can you scroll the internet on your garage door like you can on some of these refrigerators?
We'll get there.
Oh, my gosh. And here I grew up at a time when we pulled this rope with a ball at the end to open and close. Anyway,
I remember that.
Folks, do you have a garage door question? We have the two experts here. 884-9910. It's Oz and Miranda from ProLift Garage Doors. 884-9910. If you have a question, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the offers they're offering to our loyal KKFT listeners.
That's right.
The deals. We have deals, maintenance and otherwise. So hang in there. We're going to take a break and be back in just a few minutes. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1048.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello, folks. John Potter here with Oz and Miranda, ProLift Garage Doors. We asked for questions, garage door questions, and I was expecting a lot, and we do have Bob calling from South Lake Tahoe. Bob, you're on the air with Oz, ProLift Garage Doors. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just had a comment about safety and do-it-yourself garage door spring replacement. Don't do it. Call an expert. It's really a dangerous thing to try to do, and there's people been killed by it. So I know, I'm sure they know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir, Bob. There's quite a few injuries if you don't know what you're doing on a garage door spring.
Happened to you there, Bob?
No, I've just, I had a fellow call me about an ad I had, and he said that he had a nearly died from a concussion that he had. He tried to replace a spring, and he was trying to bar it over to get the proper coil on it, and you get to a certain point, and that bar becomes a lethal weapon if you lose the, you know, the connection to it, and it's not, you know, even if you know what you're doing, it's dangerous. So that's...
Call somebody like Oz and Miranda out there, ProLift. Bob,
yeah,
I'm glad you called.
Yeah, just call them and have them do it and have a cup of coffee while they're doing it.
Over the South Lake Tahoe area, we cover all the way around the lake, Incline, Fallon, Fernley,
wow.
Stagecoach, all of northern Nevada.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. I appreciate
all right.
it.
And thanks, Bob.
That's a good reminder. We didn't want somebody to, boy, I guess when you're talking a metal spring, that could.
Oh, yeah, those springs are designed to pick up those garage doors. So, yeah, they weigh quite.
Yeah, garage doors run 300 pounds, so you need a lot of force to push that door up and down. And when those springs are wound, they tend to have a lot of pressure behind them. And when you slip, it could break your arm, break your jaw. You can get cut seriously if the spring breaks.
Not trying to sound gruesome, but we had a couple photos sent to us from another one of the garage door companies in the area. And it was one of their technicians sent us a photo. And they literally slashed their forearm, probably a
good
4-6-inch slash, required stitching. I mean, it went into the meat. It was pretty rough, so definitely give us a call. Those springs are extremely dangerous.
So you don't deal with just the garage door openers. You deal with garage doors themselves, right? Do you sell garage
doors? Yes, we sell garage doors. We have a full line of AMR and CHI doors.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you bought your door elsewhere, and we'll come out and install it for you.
Garage doors have come a long way. I mean, they're no longer just the white panels and the little windows. You have some, I've seen some really great designs.
Oh, those carriage doors are beautiful.
What's a carriage door?
Oh, they're the ones that have that wooden-looking panel. You can get them where it's like a molded metal. But in the most part, though, they are wooden doors. They look like something that would go on a nice farmhouse or something. Have those beautiful iron brackets that are formed and real decorative.
You can have garage doors just match the house, too.
Exactly.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
What are some creative ways people have changed their garages? Now, I've seen painted art on the doors. And there are people who want to convert their garages into lounges.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can put screens in there so you can have open your door and have a big old screen. Just
You install those?
Yes, we do.
That's wild. I love that. Is it keep the bugs out?
But keeps all the bugs out, but it keeps a nice
cool
dry
breeze.
Place, cool breeze coming into your garage if you want to have a little cookout or even a Super Bowl party when it's a little bit on a chilly side, but you got plenty of room and...
You can treat the garage like a sun lounge, huh?
Yes.
You know, and watch the game, big screen in the garage and utilize it that way.
Or stick your kids out there so you can get some peace and quiet.
And keep the garage door opener from them.
There you go. Just lock them in.
Yeah, as far as the designs, they've got decorative trims as far as hinge and knobs or like door knockers and to make anything look old. They've got some that are even magnetic, so you can mix them up and move them wherever you want.
I've seen garage doors where people put artwork, and it wasn't in Reno, but I saw a garage door where somebody painted. It was so lifelike, Oz. It looked like a Lamborghini. They painted a Lamborghini, and it looked like, if you didn't examine it close enough, like the door was open and there's a Lamborghini, because the painting had the shelves and the Lamborghini in there.
That's genius. I love that.
Oh, yeah. No, you can do it. It's a big canvas.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Yeah. If you want, yeah, you can. It's your house. You do what you want with it.
All right, stick around. You guys got minutes because I want to take a few more calls.
Sure.
I know they're coming in. 884-9910. Questions about garage doors, if you have a problem with it, or if you want to know if ProLift can do this or that for you. And we're going to hook you in to sticking around after Fox News, because Oz and Miranda are going to reveal the specials that our listeners get on garage door maintenance, repairs, tune-ups, installations, service, new openers. They have a great deal to offer you, and we're going to tell you what that is after Fox News. In the meantime, we'll also take your questions about garage doors. What an education this is, hearing what they've done with garage door openers and doors. 884-9910. So we're going to break for Fox News. Be back in a few minutes. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM Talk News Time is coming up right now at 10:58. Hang in there.